Just to review what we did yesterday so we could maybe move forward, we're talking about two categories of nemanus. We believe a person because of migu, and we believe a person because of something called biyado. So the Gemara itself on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph tells us that if a person testifies that your father, before he died, hid these mos in a certain closet, and he made a declaration which I heard and I can testify about, that those mos belong to so and so, or alternatively they belong to Meiser. So it all depends. Where is the bag of coins? If the bag of coins are inside the house, then presumably this person has no access to the bag of coins. And let's just dramatize and say that they're locked up in a safe. But if, on the other hand, the closet or the receptacle which is holding on to these mos is outside in the field, which means that this individual has access to the mos, and just again to dramatize, it could be that the Yisomim, they don't even know about the existence of this bag of coins which their father hid somewhere in a closet. He knows about it, and he could easily get access to these coins. That's called biyado litlon. So the Gemara quotes a brisa that establishes the following klal meaning a general rule, and that is that kol shebiyado litlom dvarav kayomim, which means that anytime he has access to whatever he's saying, he can, you know, he could achieve it on his own, then we believe him totally based on this biyado litlom. So that's what we have to memorize from yesterday, Shia, is biyado litlom. Now here we have a machlokes, exactly how to understand the nature and the agency, what functions here, what gives him the authority. Because again, keep in mind, we're talking about one witness. The Torah really requires two witnesses. So anytime we see that the Torah gives credence to one witness, we have to ask why. And there's got to be some exceptional rule here. I call it an agency, a power that gives him credibility as one, as if he were two witnesses. And we begin with Rashi. Rashi says here in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed, and we'll see something similar in the Yad Ramah, but the Yad Ramah is only at the beginning of his presentation, and then he goes off on a different route. And that is, Rashi says, Malo L'Shaker. What does that mean, Malo L'Shaker? Malo L'Shaker is a phrase that appears over and over again throughout Shas. Why would he lie? Which means he has a migu. There's no need for him to lie. So, for example, the classic case of Amigu is a case where I could have denied the whole claim and instead I admit half the claim, right? So, I could have denied the whole claim if I was a liar, but instead I'm an honest guy, so I admit to you half the claim. So, Malo L'Shaker, what does he gain by lying on the second half? If he was a no good bum, a no good liar, he would have denied the whole claim. You follow me?
Yes.
So now we have Mali L'Shaker according to Rashi. And how does the Mali L'Shak, the Migu, operate in this context? Rashi says, in Ratza Notlan, all he has to do, he's the only one who knows about the existence of this hidden bag of coins, he has to go and take it, and he could give it to so-and-so, right? Instead of giving it to so-and-so, he just made a statement that I heard your father say that this money belongs to so-and-so. But it's really, he could have easily have circumvented the whole business here of claims and counterclaims and Bezdin. He could have stealthily just snuck into the Sada, taken out the money, and give it to that person. Instead, he's testifying that he heard from the father that money belongs to that person. Now, the Yad Ramah opens up his discussion, his commentary on this Gemara, by saying that which Rashi says, namely, Mali L'Shaker. And he says, Neman de Mali L'Shaker, Iboy Shakaluhu, Vyoivluhu, Leman de Boy. He could have easily just taken the money and given it to whoever whoever he wishes to do so. And that's what we call a migu. So the Yad Ramah at this point in our discussion is just reiterating what we saw in Rashi, that this man is believed in the case of Sada, if you remember, right, because of the klal of Kol Shaviyado, it means that's a migu. But at some point, as we'll soon see, the Yad Ramah seems to veer off the beaten path here, and he drops the ball on migu, and he picks up a different kind of nemunas, which is called biyado. And he gets this from a Gemara in Baba Basra. The Gemara establishes that a father is believed to identify his son as a Bechor, so that the son now will get a double portion of the inheritance. And the Gemara says that we don't even need a pasuk for that. We can derive it from a logical principle. And that is biyado, which means that the father, if he wanted to, he could write out a check, as we said yesterday. He could transfer his money over to this Bechor before his death. And instead of doing so, he identified this person as his Bechor. And the Rashbam, who's the super commentary on Baba Basra, he interprets that Gemara as referring to Migu. In other words, why would the father lie and say, this is my Bechor, and he gets Pishnai, when he just could have, you know, done, if he wanted to lie, all he had to do was write out a check, as we said before. The Ramah, though, adds a whole other piece here. He says that this migu is a unique kind of a migu. And he bases himself on a principle in Dine Iser Veheter. When we have a question about something, we don't know if it's Tevel, we don't know if it's Hegdesh, we're not sure what its status is. So we believe 1/8. When do we, under what circumstances do we believe one, you know, the testimony of one individual? Under the testimony, under the condition that's called biyado l'sakno, that he could have done exactly what he's testifying was done. So for example, you have Tevel, and he's testifying, this 1/8, that this Tevel is no longer Tevel, that it was, it's chulin because they already took off the necessary truma or maaseh. He's believed, and therefore we're allowed to eat these grains, or this piece of bread, or fruits, whatever it might be. And why? Because it's biyado l'saken. He could have done the hafrasha himself. We're going to have a similar case in Hegdesh, where Hegdesh needs pidyon. So he says, well, there was already a pidyon on this Hegdesh, he's believed, because biyado l'sakto, he could have been poder the Hegdesh. I would throw in another example here, nida, that a woman says she went to the mikvah, we believe her because she could go to the mikvah, it's biyado l'sakto. So we have it in Hafrashas Tevel, we have it in pidyon Hegdesh, we have it in Tefillah v'tameh. In all these cases, we have an emunus of the other. But the only thing is, Rabbi Osei, keep in mind that what's common to all those cases is that they're all Dine Iser Veheter. And the Torah believes 1/8 in Dine Iser Veheter. And under these circumstances where that 8 has a biyado, we believe him, perhaps even against the Cheskas Iser. But now the Yad Ramah says, Loshna Mamono Loshna Isur. That if there's a credibility here based on biyado, biyado l'sakno, and that we saw is anchored in Dine Iser Veheter, we can apply that nemunas of biyado even to Dine Mamonos. And when the Gemara says in Baba Basra that we believe the father to say that this is my son who's a Bechor, because he could biyado give him his son all that money, the double portion. That's again, we're flexing the muscle of biyado. So again, keep in mind that if the Yad Ramah was, how shall I say, loyal, or was he totally embracing what we call migu, then we don't need to stretch our arms out to Iser Veheter to prove that there's an emunus of migu. Mm. Migu and Dini Mamonos is all over the place. It's all over Shas, if you will.
Right.
Therefore, the Ad Ramah did not have to hang his hat on the peg of Isur, unless he thinks that we need this new Nemanis called Biyado. And indeed, the Yad Ramah, in order to explain this concept of Biyado, like for example, we saw that if it's in the Soda, and this fellow who's testifying, he's the only one who knows about the Mos, he could have easily have taken the Mos, it's Biyado Litlom. The Yad Ramah identifies that as Biyado, not as Migu, to such an extent that he has to invoke the law of Biyado in Isur. And then he has to say Loshna Isur, Loshna Mom. You know, he's going to take that new Nemanis of Biyado, which is anchored, which is planted in the ground of Isur, and he's going to graft it onto Dini Mominos. He's not operating with Migu as we know it in Dinei Momenos. And that's really strange. The Russian actually understands that we're talking about Migu. Okay. So again, what we have is two roads that diverge to the yellow wood. We have one road that leads us to Migu, and then we don't have to stretch our arms out to Isur, because Migu is believed in Dini Mominos. We have another road that takes us down a different path and leads us to a new category of Nemanis, which is called Biyado, which, as we said, where is the stomping ground for that concept of unbelief because it's Biyado? Where is it? Not in Isa, not in Mama, but it's in Isa Veheta. That's the original, do you follow what I mean? The original territory. However, the Yad Ramah is going to take that law of Biyado that appears all over Shas in the context of Isa Veheta, and he's going to say, Kmo Chein B'Mama. So too this Biyado can be reliable, can give a person Nemanis in Mamon as well. Fine. That's what we have so far. Now, yesterday, we began a paragraph here, Vehine Ashmaitita, and then we went on to a paragraph called Vehine Betshuvas Arush. So let's just try to summarize what we know from these two paragraphs. According to the Shem Shmaitita, and he relies here on a tshuva of Rabbi Kiveger, the Nemanis of Biyado, which again is rooted in the territory, in the turf of Isurim, applies only to Isurim and not to Mamon. And not to a Davish Berber, which also requires two witnesses. So let's understand that if you talk about Nemanus, the standards, the bar for Nemanus in Mamon and in Davish Berber is much higher than it is in Isur. So if you're dealing with Tevel, you want to know whether it's Asim Torah's Tevel or Hegdesh or Nida, all these cases, the Torah lowers the bar with regard to Isur. And I'll prove it to you. Because in Isur, how many witnesses do we need? Only one. Eidech and then Bisurin. But in Mamon, we need two witnesses. In Erva, we need two witnesses. Says the Shef Shmaitita that the concept of Biyado operates only with regard to Isurin, where the Torah has kind of a lower standard or demand. But with regard to Mamon and Dovash Be'erva, we don't have, the Torah doesn't recognize the validity of Biyado. So if you take a look on the fifth line in this paragraph of Hine, that starts with the Hine Ashmaitita, line 5, you might want to underline this, Uli Devrayim, meaning according to the Shem Shmaita, he's already, you know, agreeing with the Reb Kveger. So again, according to both of these, Lo Mahani B'Mamon Nemanis Mechudash D'Migu. D'Biyado. So where do we find Biyado? Only in Isur. And in Isur we have a lower standard, so we lower the bar, and therefore the Torah relies on the nemanis of the yodel. So she tells me she went to mikvah, she was mafresh shumas and maisers, told her the hegdesh, we believe her. But in Malon, where the Torah requires two edim, so it's a whole different standard of evidence and credibility, then this new category called the yodel is not acceptable. So Vimela, remember we started with Rashi and the Rashbam, who interpreted our Gemara of this person who says, I know where this bag of Mos is, and I know that it was designated for somebody else. He's believed it must be because of Migu. Because as we said, Migu is something that is common all over Shas with regard to Mama. And in Mama, we need Migu. We're not going to be able to rely on this new category called Biyada, because that is only exclusively in Issa. However, you remember that we quoted the Yad Ramah, and the Yad Ramah took the Nemanis of the Yodo and he applied it even to Mama. And he said, Loshna Isur, Loshna Mama. Right. So the Yad Ramah, therefore, is again, it's a little confusing, because if you remember the ratio of the Yad Ramah, he said, Malu Shaka, but at the end he sort of qualifies it, and he's saying that we're talking about the Nemanis of Biyodo. And the Nemanis of Biyodo, even though it derives from Isur, it applies even in Dini Momenos. So that's what he writes here. Ulam harama kasav din Nemanis Biyodo mahani gam bimomo kamo b'Isur. And in fact, the Nesivis, who was a contemporary of the Ksos, he agrees with the Yad Ramah. And apparently Rabbi Kivager, when he established his shita that there's no nemanis of biyado as a new category in Mamonos, he quotes the Nesivus who holds against Rabbi Kivager that there is a nemanis of biyado even in Dine Mamonos, like the Yad Ramah. And if you want to underline, he says the hach nemanis bechudosh de biyado Mahani af b'momen v'erava. Now why? Because mitam bailim. Now if I understand correctly, the word bailim here could be understood in a very literal way, but if you have a little bit of extra rope here, liberal, and you want to give the word bailim a broader scope, because he's applying the word bailim not only to Mamon but also to Erva, and I challenge you to come up with bailus in Erva. I mean, what do you mean? Bailus means I own something, I possess it. In Erva, we're not talking about bailus, but I think what he means by bailus here is that you're in charge. You know, the reins are in your hands. So, for example, let's take the case of our Gemara in Sanhedrin, right? Why is he called the Bailim, such that he could be believed because of the Yodah? The answer is he's the Bailim in the sense that he has total control, right? You know what I mean? No one could prevent him from taking this money and delivering it to so-and-so.
Just using the word Yodah in a different way, it's just the same thing. Yodah and Bali is...
Yeah, I'm just pointing out.
No, he's saying that.
I'm just pointing out that this word bailim, if you look up in the dictionary, the word bailim, you'll find that it's defined or interpreted in a way that's totally inappropriate. That's all I'm just pointing out. I don't want to make a big deal about that. I'm just saying that the concept of bailus here means, in Yiddish we say, ich bin der Baal Abos. You know, at the end of the day, it really depends on me. It's kind of like I'm in the driver's seat, that kind of concept. So I can drive the car in any direction and take it wherever I want because I'm holding on to the driver's seat. Like you give me a shofar, I'll keep blowing until you, because I'm holding on to the shofar. So I'm the Baal Abos. The Cain Kosav had a sevis bekali migus of kod yud aleph to be yodo mahani af bedovisha be'erva. So I'm not sure what he means here. I think he means that, let's say the Baal would testify that his wife is no longer his wife. meaning that he gave her a get, and therefore she's allowed to marry anyone else. So normally in Erva we would require two witnesses. But since it's Biyado, he's the Baal Habos, meaning he can give her a get, so therefore he's believed to testify that, you know, somewhere out there in the court, wherever it was, he gave her a get. I don't know, I'm just giving that example. Maybe we'll come up with better examples. Okay, now in the paragraph of the Tshuvas HaRosh, and this is the last thing that we covered yesterday, he says that this case of the Shida, which is our sugya in Sanhedrin, is the Shida HaYashayach LaMatmin Dumya DeBayis. Now, what the Rosh is trying to accomplish here, let me just give you a little background, is he's going to try to give us some justification as to why we need biyado. Why don't we use migu? Again, Rashi and the Rashbam maybe are on a different path. You know, they're applying migu. But why is it that the Yad Ramah is inhibited about migu? Instead, he stretches his arm out to biyado, which is planted in the sea, in the ground of Iser, and he transplants it into Mammon. So the Rosh is going to give us perhaps an answer to that question. Because where is this bag of coins? And the answer is, whether or not it's in the Bayis or in the Sadeh, it belongs to the father, the late father. Moreover, he wants to say, who owns this field? Is it someone else's field? Meaning, did the father take a bag of very expensive mos, of gold coins, and hide it in someone else's field? Says the Rosh, Ein derech b'neyod melahatmin b'mono b'rshus shalacha. That's not the normal case. Again, you could have it, but it's unusual. So what does the Rosh gain here by telling us, A, that the Sada is Dumya DeBayis, and B, that he hid it in his own Sada, he owns the Sada? And the answer is, and he bases this on the Tumim, is that the Rosh wants to explain to us why we cannot operate here in our Sugya Sanhedrin with Migu. E efshal lomer demahani mitam Migu. And why is that? We have a technical foul here that's called a migula hotzi. So the Yisomim now, when they inherit their father's possessions, their estate, they slip into his shoes, and whatever chazaka the father had on his mama, now they have that chazaka, they inherit that chazaka. So if we want to take this money out of the hands of the Yarshim and give it to someone else, well, that's called lahotzi. That means we're taking money out of its possession. And here we have a principle that there's no such thing as migu lahotzi. With all due respect, migu gives you a certain element of evidence that supports your claim, but it's not enough to be motzi momi miches kasa. The v'davar shebiyado neman b'momon af b'machayev lachrini. Now, once again, he's quoting the Nesivos. I have to admit that I didn't go through the Nesivos inside, so I'm just going to take a shot at it. And if you get a chance, go through the Nesivos and tell me that I made up a whole story and it's not in the Nesivos. But until you do that, you know, I'm in the driver's seat, if you follow the pun. So what I think the Nesivos is saying is that Biyado extends beyond Migu. That even if Migu would not be believed because of this principle of Migu Lahotzi Lo Amrinon, Biyado would be believed, even if it means that so-and-so, who's Muchsok, is now going to have to pay something out of pocket. So let's say, for example, in our case of the Yisomim, they have a Chazok on this bag of Mos because the father didn't hide it in someone else's Rishus, he hid it in his own Sada. They will now have to take that Mos and literally transferred over to so and so based on a biyado.
Okay, once you put you say that the stuff in the field is just like the stuff in the house,
right,
then how does this new guy have the other one anymore?
I guess, Mitch, I don't know, that the field is like open, you know, it's not closed with four walls.
But then he's not, either he has Biyado or he doesn't have Biyado.
No, I'm saying he has...
This guy can't get into the field and get the stuff.
No, I'm saying the field is open on all sides. So he has access, physical access to the shida that's out in the field.
So what's the when he's changing the thing? And Rosh Bam says that the field, just like in the house, the field is in an aron that belongs to the owner,
and therefore the owner has what's called muchzakus.
Right.
That doesn't mean biyado. Biyado means could he have access to the mos and just pick up the bag and hand it over to that person. You know, let's say he wants to make that person rich or whatever it is. Maybe they're in cahoots with each other. He could literally, no one would know that, pardon the expression, the darn difference, if he picked up the mos and he gave it to him. However, in Hilchas Muzakus, the Rush's point is, and maybe you could argue against the Rush, I don't know, that as long as the field is owned by the Yarshim, meaning they inherited from them, that's enough to give them a din of muchzak. So as far as Migu Lahotzi, the Migu is invalid. But it still is the other because he has access to this Shida. He doesn't have to break into the house and sneak in the middle of the night and take out the mos.
As long as he has access.
That's what I'm saying. If it's in the Sada, again, I'm adding another element to the equation that the Sada is open. It's not
it's not
locked up, you know. Today, I don't know. You know, maybe if you go to a kibbutz today, I don't know. Maybe the soda, you know, is locked up. I know there's an orchard, by the way, outside Grus. You know, Grus, the Yeshiva University campus.
Yes.
And I once walked right into the orchard. I was tempted to start taking fruits off the tree. There were no. Now again, that was many years ago. Maybe today there's a fence around. And the Nesivus quotes our Gemara to prove that he's Neman in a case of Biyado, even to take money out of someone's hands and force him to pay it to someone else. And he quotes the Shulchan Aruch who says, Ra'isi avichem shehit min mos v'yomer shal ploniu d'neman mitam Biyado. Now, I don't have access to the Shulchan Aruch right now, but it seems quite explicitly that the Shulchan Aruch is using the term biyado. And if we go back to the Gemara that we began with, it says zek lolo shel dov or kol shel biyado. It doesn't say migu. Umashma da'afilu ma'ya munach b'shusa di'asme, which I think makes it into muxakus. And therefore the migu would be a migu lahotzi. We can't believe a migu lahotzi to take money out of someone's rishus and put it into someone else's rishus. Is Ella, but why is he believed me tam David biyado? Which means that there's this new category of biyado which we thought applies only in Issa v'Heter, and guess what? It applies even in Mamon. And that leads us to page Ayin Vav. Bafil lahotzi v'hini Rabbi Chanan Zatzal v'bavasa sham heir alhod yamin sham del av nema midim migu deboil emasively b'matana. You could have written a check. Halo avi migu lahotzi. Now again, I'm not exactly sure why that's called a migu lahotzi, but I'll tell you what I think he means. Again, this is as I always tell you, you have to check it out and see if maybe I'm selling you a bill of goods here. That I think what he's saying is that that Yerusha gives a person muchzakus, meaning until I know exactly who the Bechar is, then all the Yarshim have a chazaka on that Yerusha. Do you follow what I mean?
Until it's made more definite.
Correct. The burden of proof is on the Bechar, who's so-called Bechar,
right,
to prove that he wants to take the second portion, which until he proves that, we assume is in the chazaka of the other Yarshim.
Right.
So Rebbe Chanan says that why do we believe the father based on Migu? Right. So the answer is going to be this Yad Ramah, that there's a new Neman, it's called the Yado, which applies even Lahotzi, So the father has biyodo because he could have given this extra portion as a gratis, as a gift to this one of his sons. And then with migu alone, the father would not be believed, because that comes under the category of migu lahotzi, but he's believed mikach nemanis mechudeshes of biyodo. And he adds again, mitam bailam. Biyodo means that he's the balabos. Now nobody can do anything to him to stop him. He's in the driver's seat. He can drive the car to whatever, in any direction, and to any place that he wants to. So I'm going to stop now. I just want to give a little bit of an introduction for 1 minute to the next paragraph, and I have to drink a tea here.
You want me to get you some water in the meantime?
If you don't mind. I mean, no, here's what I want you to do, if you can.
Sure.
Just fill it up to the top with hot water so I'll be able to drink it immediately.
Sure.
Because I don't have time to wait till it cools off.
Sure.
So the Ramah in Choshen Mishpat, Simon Pei Beis, brings a machlokes about Migul Ahotzi. Tosis holds that Migul Ahotzi lo amrinin, the Ramban and the Rashba holds Migul Ahotzi. And Rashi, in our sugya, who's operating with Migu, and the Rashbam, as we mentioned, is operating with Migu, they hold like the Ramban and the Rashba that Migul Ahotzi amrinin. Thank you so much. However, the Yad Ramah probably holds like Tosus and Migul Ahotzi Lam Rinon, and therefore he was baffled how this person who's testifying here that has a Migu could be believed when it's a Migul Ahotzi. The Koshalo Tosus over the Migul Ahotzi Lam Rinon. So how could we possibly believe him here? We're going to have to introduce a brand new category called Biyado, that you become the Balabas. So that's where we're up to as of now. Okay then, so I'll wish you a great day.
Thank you
so much for joining.
God bless you, Rabbi.
And I'm going to be teaching now Hul Bar Mitzvah, so I have to get my head on.
What job are you in?